gift of the Holy Spirit, part 3. Let's read the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Anyone has it? The gift of serving is a supernatural ability to identify and meet the needs involved in doing God's work. Have on the first blank over there. The gift of serving is a supernatural ability to identify and meet the needs involved in doing God's work. Theologian Houghton defines the gift of serving as coming to someone's aid, helping the weak, or displaying kindness. People with the gift of serving are always the first to volunteer when something practical needs to be done. People with the gift of serving are motivated by the opportunity to help. They are willing to get their hands dirty, working until the job is done with little need for recognition. Do we see that over here in our church? People with the gift of serving? Can I get an example? That's all of us know. You know Jordan, the man that serves over there on the parking lot?
Yes.
Jordan, he's over there when it rains, it snows, when it's hot. Brother Jordan.
He always smiles.
Do you know that years ago, Pastor James used to do that? When Pastor James first came to this church, that's what he was doing. How humble was Pastor James? I mean, how humble is Pastor James? That's what Pastor James was doing. And there's another man, Chris. Do you know Chris? Chris, he does a lot of things in our church. He cooks for us. You know the man that always wanders over there in the gym? Chris? Yeah.
Yeah, so he's really a servant.
Chris does a lot. Chris is on staff. He gets paid, but he goes beyond what he gets paid for. You know, on the first Sunday of each month, we have a meal. He cooks for about 3,000 people. He cooks for everybody that comes to this church. Not only he cooks, but he cleans, he organizes tables, he does most of this job over here. Brother Chris. And there's also my brother over there. You. he does not fear to get his hands dirty. You know, even with his collar and tie, he doesn't care. When he sees on the trash cans filled over there in the gym when we're having our meals, he'll go over there and start to pack them out and take them out. So, Brother Ricky, thank you very much for what you do, yeah? Yeah. Brother Ricky has that gift, the gift of serving. See, where people with that gift, you don't need to tell them anything. They just notice something and they do it. And that doesn't come from your normal, you know, ability. It's a supernatural ability. How many of us will go past? But how many of them will do it? Because it's a gift within them. So people with the gift of serving see what needs to be done. Like Brother Ricky. Usually before anyone else does. They come alongside the visionaries and they help get the inspirational project finished. One time I saw Brother Ricky just ripping around. He said, man, we don't have any more paper. We don't have any more toilet papers in the bathrooms upstairs. And he went over there. I don't know where he went to get them, but he came over there and filled all the stuff where the toilet papers go. And nobody told him to do it. That's his type. You know, he just was going around and he noticed that something was missing. Just like I said, Pastor James volunteered on the parking lot. And look how God raised him, you know, from the parking lot to the senior pastor position. Just like Brother Ricky, from just something, somebody volunteering for something, and now he has a job. See, that's why we said on the person is that you need to use a frequency with your gift. Use your gift frequently so that you can develop a ministry role with it. See? God requires all Christians to serve, but he endows some with a special ability to serve, just like these people are listed. Teaching is the supernatural ability to communicate revelation and truth from God's word so that others will grow and mature. That's another gift, the gift of teaching. Teaching is the supernatural ability to communicate revelation and truth from God's word so that others will grow and mature. People with the gift of teaching are passionate to transfer information and to ensure that it is understood and applied. They will use every opportunity to explain a biblical truth. We have some teachers over here. My sister has a gift of teaching. Once you mature with that gift, you become a teacher. Hence the difference between the gift of teaching and the teacher like we described last time. Just like the gift of evangelism and the evangelist. We said those people were commissioned to equip the church people for service. So how do you reach that level? Just use your gift frequently, and you become the teacher. People with the gift of teaching are able to take the complexities of God's word and frame them in terms that are comprehensible and applicable. We've seen it over here. We were drawing some pictures. Those pictures are not part of the Bible, but we drew those pictures so that people can understand. So once you mature with, or once you use your gift with frequency, God gives you revelations how to do things. The gift of encouragement is the supernatural ability to minister words of comfort, counsel, and exhortation. The gift of encouragement is the supernatural ability to minister words of comfort, counsel, and exhortation. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. The following points are taken from the life of Barnabas, a New Testament example of the gift of encouragement. His given name was Joseph, but he so embodied the gift of encouragement that the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas, son of encouragement. Anyone recalls Barnabas, the son of encouragement? Anyone has that gift over here? See, my brother, when I see you, I see the wind. And you know, one of the biblical metaphors of the wind is the Holy Spirit. What the wind does, the wind goes everywhere it pleases. There's nothing that blocks the wind. So what I see in you is you're somebody that goes everywhere without the barriers. You reach out to everybody and encourage them. So you're the son of encouragement. The gift of encouragement. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. It speaks of a man called Barnabas, that the apostles nicknamed the son of encouragement, because he was so encouraging. People with the gift of encouragement see the potential in people and urge them to fulfill their destiny. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 to 27. When everyone was frightened of Paul, because of the awful things he had done, Barnabas believed in him. When Paul came to Jerusalem, He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So, after Paul's conversion, he tried to deepen his knowledge of Christ. And one way he did that was he decided to meet with the apostles and the disciples that were with the apostles, so he can be acquainted to them and learn more from them. But as he got over there, people were in fear because they knew what this man was doing. This is somebody that was commissioned to kill Christians, you know. So they were not really believing in him. But Barnabas, the son of encouragement, said, no, this is a changed man. We need to give him a chance. So people with that gift, that's what they do. They encourage the others. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. This is another account. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. So after Paul had met the apostles, he went to Tarsus, that where he was from. But Barnabas went in so far as finding him and brought him to another city, Antioch, and both together they started to encourage the believers. See how encouraging this man is? Do you see that it's a supernatural ability? Other people will give up on you, but this man is not giving up on him. And look what Paul did after that. He wrote almost half of the New Testament with his testimony. Four, the gift of giving. The gift of giving is a supernatural ability to contribute significant financial resources for the advance of God's kingdom. The gift of giving implies the ability to produce significant financial resources. The words produce and contribute are both necessary for a full understanding of the gift of giving. If a person cannot produce significant financial resources, he certainly cannot give significant financial resources. And conversely, if he can produce significant financial resources but chooses not to give them, he certainly does not have the gift of giving. People with the gift of giving often have an uncanny ability to spot a good investment. I know people that always give for the cause of or for the sake of the gospel. Do you know Pastor Greg Timpton? You know, he runs the ministry called the 10-day missions, and he knows a man that always gives millions of dollars for the cause of 10-day mission or just for evangelism. And this man said he will never get tired until all his money goes. So he gives money, millions of dollars every year. So men like that have that ability, that supernatural ability. Also, do you know Pastor Shino? Pastor Shino used to be over here, the youth pastor. But now he's on the senior pastor at our Franklin congregation. One time he met with a man that was giving away $120 million. He told him, do you have anything you can do with money? No, he didn't have any plan yet. That's why he came to the church to see the church leader. He said, well, you know, you have to be prepared every time. You have to have a plan because we have some, well, let's not call them crazy, you know. We have some crazy people out there that offered $120 million. So you have to be ready what you can do with that money. So he didn't have any plan. So we have to have plans every time for the sake of the gospel. When you get given some money, what can you do with it? Pastor Greg Tipton knows right where that money can go. And this man said, I'm not going to give the $120 million to one church. I'm going to give them to different churches. But you have to tell me what you can do with that money. See, people like that have that gift. We also have some athletes that wanted to support Bethel Metro. So they asked, there's another Pastor James in our church. I don't know if you know him. He ushers. He's a big fellow, big black fellow. He used to be a pastor, used to have his own church in Oakland, California. But the Lord asked him to move over here, so he moved over here. But you don't really notice him unless he tells you about himself. Usually he ushers. So he's one of our leaders over at Bethel Metro. So these athletes told him, we have some money to offer. Do you know where that money can go? He said, yeah, we encourage activities in the inner city. Now, do you have an account? Because we have to donate some money. One problem was, he said, we don't want this money to go to another account and you get it from that account. You have to have an account. We want to give it to you. Do you have something to do with that money? You see, we have people out there that have the ability of giving for the sake of the kingdom. It is a temptation to view this gift as unspiritual or as an entirely natural ability. So when people give millions, you think sometimes they don't know what they're doing. You think it's unspiritual, but no. They know who's asking them to donate, you know, that big money like that. However, this gift is exercised through faith in God, making the effect of the gift stretch far beyond monetary value. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's just not giving, it's generosity. That's what we call being generous. Because once you donate that money, and the church uses that money for a lot of things. Help the youth in the inner city. Help the Life Learning Center, Youth Life Learning Center. Go to Mexico, build church or churches. Go to different parts of the world, Iran, Jerusalem, or different parts of the world in Russia where the gospel is hard, you know, for people. I mean, it's hard to reach out to people for the gospel. So when you see people donate money like that, don't think that they don't know what they're doing. They know. It's a gift they have from the Holy Spirit. The gift of leadership, that's number five. The gift of leadership is the supernatural ability to influence and mobilize people to work together to advance God's kingdom. People with the gift of leadership are usually self-starters. Who like to initiate project. We have a self-start over here. I like to start things. And when I start things, people think I'm a joker. I'm just playing. 7 years ago, I was working in an office with some friends. I told them, I'm going to start a company. They thought I was a joker. They say, just shut up. Every time I used to come in the office, people were like, you see that guy, he has big goals. He always talks about big things. And 2 years later, I started a company. And people started to tell those people, you know that guy that was talking over there, he started a company. They thought he was a joke until they started to come and visit me at my office. Start with 5 employees, then 16, then 24, then 40, 49, then came down to 46. They start to see me give speeches. You know, I give speeches on international trade and security. Dr. Wang, you know, Ming Wang, he always invites me to go issue a security opinion. Like 2 years ago, the statistics showed that the trade between Tennessee and China, just the Tennessee businesses with China, netted $18 billion. and it's worth providing security for that investment. So ask me, how can we secure $18 billion? So Governor Bill Haslam sent his commissioner for economics and Mayor Cardin. They all came over there. They have to listen to your opinion. How can we secure $18 billion? Can we see from a joker in the office to somebody giving opinions? Not once, many times. See? So it's good to be a self-starter. Sometimes we'll have a lot of people to discourage you, but don't give up. Now, if you're pushing yourself to be one, it's different, but if it's a natural ability, you'll see it will just come naturally. Yeah, people with the gift of leadership are usually self-starters who like to initiate projects. They want responsibility and are usually not afraid of being a focus of attention. Dr. Ming Wang, he's a self-starter too. You heard his story from cultural deportation. I mean, he was nothing until he came to this country, and look at him now. He has a nice surgery office, the Wang Institution. And he also has a foundation that helps people nationwide to recover sight. So every year he has like a big feast, you know, where people come, donate money, stuff like that. It's fun. One day you need to come. They do ballet dancing, you know. Lots of people come over there, mayors, governors, congressmen. You'll be surprised, people that have the ability or the supernatural ability to give. People donate money over there. People donate money. People sponsor tables. See, people just come say, I want to sponsor a table of 10 people. A table of 10 people. I have $5,000. You're just sponsoring. You don't even need to be over there to eat, but you're welcome to eat. People donate funds. People from all walks of life. That's how you see the ability of giving. People with the gift of leadership often find it difficult to follow others because they think they could do it so much better. Remember, we said last time, don't be consumed. Don't be consumed with this gift when you have them. Don't boast when you have this gift, but instead use them to minister to others with love, because it's actually God using you through that gift. So most of the time, people get consumed. You know, they'll be like, oh, I can't do it better than the other people. Be like Pastor Bruce. Pastor Bruce is our executive pastor over here. He runs the church. But do you see how humble he is? He came to say hi to Sunday school. You know, and he's ready to listen to people, you know, get your opinions. Like when we talked about how the gift of the Holy Spirit are helping us. Did you hear what he said? He said, yeah, there's also something we're posting online. Please follow if you can. You know, he's humble. He's really a good example to follow. Other people at his place wouldn't probably be greeting people. Can you see how big Bethel Church is and you're the executive pastor? Many people start boasting and start to be, you know, instead of being humble, they get the big head. So careful when we have that gift, you know. You need to learn how to be humble. We saw Dr. Wang, you know. Every time you see Dr. Wang, he represents humility. You know, that's Dr. Wang. You can't tell about Dr. Wang until you really know him and start to talk to him or learn from other people. He's a community influencer. He influences the city of Nashville in good ways. You know, like I said, like with his own Wang Foundation for sight recovery. And one time, Governor Phil Bredesen, you know, he heard so much about China. China's doing good things. How can we use China to help Tennessee? So he went on a trip with Dr. Wang to China and learned. He went firsthand over there in China, learned how we can profit, you know, with all these things, you know, China is doing to help Tennessee. And like I said, Bill, Governor Bresson started that. And two years ago, I said that it netted $18 billion. So that the initiative of Dr. Wang and Governor Phil Bredesen. Number six, the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is the supernatural ability to feel genuine empathy and compassion for suffering people and to translate that into selfless acts that reflect Christ's love. People with the gift of mercy are motivated by the desire to comfort the hurting. Sometimes people with the gift of mercy want to alleviate pain so much that they actually undermine the discipleship required of an individual to take responsibility for his own life. A mercy giver needs to add discernment to the gift rather than just automatically covering the pain. This is what I mean. People with this gift over here have empathy on people. Sometimes they go beyond. That's why it says use discernment. Sometimes they go beyond, you know, what I said over here. Individuals should take responsibility for their own lives. People of that gift, they will start to do things for you instead of letting you do your things, run your life. But now that empathy will lead them on doing things for you. So be careful. Just be careful when you have that gift. Don't cross the boundaries. People with the gift of mercy are able to transfer their own suffering into comfort that overflows for others who are hurting. Can somebody read on the book of Corinthians, second book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3 to 5? People with the gift of mercy do not just empathize with someone's pain, but also hate what brought that person to that place of pain in the first place. You know, most of the times when you talk to battered women, it makes you mad, you know. Why did somebody do this to them, you know? You know, you're empathizing with these people, but you're going beyond. You want to know what happened to them and how it happened, and that's making you mad too. Now, you need to control yourself over there now, because you'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna bring them a peace of mind now. You see, so you have to watch it. See, empathize, but don't cross the boundaries. Number seven, the gift of helps. Helps, like to help. Yeah. The gift of helps is the supernatural ability to support others and increase their effectiveness. First book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 28. And in the church, God has appointed those able to help others, those with gift of administration. Administration is another way you can help. People with the gift of helps are usually proficient and at various practical skills and are motivated with a desire to assist others. The gift of helps is often accompanied by the gift of serving. So two gifts that go together, helps and serving. We need to develop our spiritual ears. Sorry, I think I jumped on that. The gift of helps is often accompanied by the gift of serving. Like we noticed with Brother Chris, the man that cooks, cleans, and does a lot of things, fixes door hinges. He really goes beyond what he gets paid for. See Brother Jordan. Brother Jordan is he's a big guy over there at Fison Bridgestone. He's a purchasing agent over there. I think he's the supervisor, manager over there of the purchasing department. as humble he is, he's always in shorts, ripping around the parking lot, making sure that our cars are safe, everybody is safe, you know. So he does both helping at the same time, serving. And there are various ways you also can serve, you know. You can serve your church to teach. Or Sister Sinica sends us email about Engage 2020 every week. You know, that's also serving. You know, you can serve in the cafeteria. You know, there are various areas where you can serve. You can serve in the children's department, either just keep the children or teach them. Number 8, the gift of administration. The gift of administration is the supernatural ability to understand the goals of a church or ministry and to formulate and implement effective plans to accomplish those goals. People with the gift of administration have the ability to know where God is leading and to hold steady on that course. People with the gift of administration can often become too critical of others who want to go in different directions. They can also become so goal-oriented, they forget the people they are directing. Pastor Bruce has the gift of administration. Like I said, he's the executive pastor over here, you know. He's pretty much, he's the one that runs the whole administrative part, you know. And he's always in communication with Pastor James, trying to find out what our church needs, you know, how we can lead people, how we can do things like that. But just notice Pastor Bruce, he's not self-consumed. He's not like what I said over there, other people will lose focus and start to overshadow the others. He's not like that. He listens. And even when you're about to start a ministry role, you know, just talk to Pastor Bruce. He'll help you how you can start it and how it fits in the church. Don't count yourself out. You know, sometimes I think, well, people don't listen to me in the church. Probably you're talking to the wrong people. Right. A lot of people seem too busy to listen to others, you know. So just go to Pastor Bruce. He really has time to listen to you and will give you the right information. He always listens to people. That's what's good about Pastor Bruce. It is easy to mistake this gift as only a human skill to organize people toward a desired direction. But the gift of administration is the power of the Holy Spirit to lead people towards God's agenda. And knowing the resistance people can have in submitting to Christ, it clearly takes his empowering to turn people towards his will. People like Pastor James and Pastor Bruce, they know how to lead God's people. They really know which direction they want to take the church. How do they know it? Don't think that they just want to do it. They see what the people's desire, what the people's desire is. We're members. We count, don't we? They know where the people's focus is, what people want, what they desire, how we can take the church in a direction that will fit the needs so they can be better served. It's a big task, you know. Can you see how many people, 3,000-5,000 people, and direct them in a certain way, godly way? So they do it. Don't think that Pastor Jim doesn't listen to us. Oh, yeah. Throw a comment. When they say throw a comment on that piece of paper, throw a comment. He'll read it. To whom you address that comment, yeah, that person will read it. And they will take that into consideration. So you can't just lead people and you don't care about what they need and what they want. You know? So let's not think that they don't listen to us. They do. As busy as they are, they really do. They have own people that assist them too, you know. The gift of hospitality. That's number 9. The gift of hospitality is the supernatural ability to provide an open house and a warm accommodation to those in need. Although all believers are urged to practice hospitality, some have a special gift of hospitality. So the gift of hospitality is the supernatural ability to provide an open house and a warm accommodation to those in need. And number 10, the gift of intercession. The gift of intercession is the supernatural ability to pray for the needs of others with special fervency, frequency, and the duration. Anyone has that gift? Thank you. My wife has that gift too. The maximum time for me is 2 hours. After 2 hours, I start to repeat the same thing, unless I pray in tongues. My wife will go on and on and on and on. I'm like, I need to sleep. She'll go on and on and on and on and on and on. Dr. Rose, you know Dr. Rose Pambu? Dr. Rose Pambu does 12 hours. The shortest amount I've seen is from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's the shortest amount of time. She goes for hours. And I always pick on her. Don't you repeat the same thing? She said, no, I don't repeat the same thing. I go on and on and on and on. You see how many needs people have? She turns everybody's needs in prayer. I also have a friend that's a pastor in France. When he comes to Dr. Rose's house, you can't be over there. They don't want to be in prayer forever. When it's about 10 p.m., I'll be like, I need to leave. Because if they catch you at 12 o'clock, you're stuck over there until 6 o'clock. Praying. So we all pray, but there are people that have that gift, the gift of intercession. And when you have that gift, don't keep it to yourself. Use it for the sake of, you know, the community or of our church. Pray for people. What I usually tell people, when you think you have a talent, you have a gift, you have something that's driving you to do something, don't refrain. Because if you refrain it, you lose momentum. So do it. Like people say, you're hot now, so do it when you're hot. But always get advices. You know, even myself, when I did it, I just didn't start to do things. I came up with my plan of what I wanted to do. Now, you know, you have to associate the funds with your ideas, you know, and see where you can get the funds or how you can use your funds if you already have some. And in case of businesses, you have to be legal. Always do something that's legal. Be in conformity with the law, you know. And you can seek an advice of an attorney, or there are people that help people, or, you know, other people to. We have what we call our business incubation centers, where you can go and get advice on how you can start a business, or what papers are necessary for your business. And CPAs, you know, certified public accountants, they're good people to talk to because they do filings for most companies, you know, all the filings, and they know which document that a certain company needs according to the type of service you provide or type of what you do. So always get advice from people. But once you have that momentum, don't lose it. See, if you lose the momentum, your idea will be just faded. Sometimes it's hard to start all over again. But if it is a supernatural ability, that will keep you awake every time. You have to do it. I need to do this. See, when you have the gift of generosity, you will give without anybody asking. You have some funds. Oh, I have some money. I need to do something with the money. You start to donate money to people. Always donate money for good causes, you know. Join life groups, you know. Life groups are a good thing. Different life groups, they have different things they do. And some of them are for business people. Some of them for women activities, you know, stuff like that. Just inquire with the church office. They can direct you to a life group that will really fit your need. Mm-hmm. So ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. The following are important requirements for practicing the gift of the Holy Spirit. Requirements. The first bullet is to listen. Cultivate the ability to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's a requirement. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So we have to cultivate the ability to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's the first requirement. Second requirement, watch others who are experienced in spiritual gift. When you see Pastor James, Pastor Bruce, Pastor Jim LaFoon, always watch what they do. You learn a lot from them. Requirement number three, avoid spiritual manipulation. It is better to use phrases like, I feel the Lord is saying this, or I am getting this type of impression as I pray for you, rather than, thus says the Lord. God told me. Now, remember last time we discussed about Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy? Prophets in the Old Testament used to say, thus says the Lord. We explained why. Because they were transmitting the true words of God. When the prophet Nathan went to David, said, thus says the Lord, that's really God's will. He's communicating to David. See, that's why we don't use it, thus says the Lord. Because we said prophecy in the New Testament does not have the authority of the scriptures. So you can manipulate people saying that you're really listening to the Lord, and that's why you're saying that. Please don't manipulate people. Yeah. So when you discover a gift in a brother or a sister, so better to use, I feel the Lord is saying this, you know, as I'm getting this type of impression as I'm praying for you. Don't go like the Old Testament prophets, because what they were saying was God's word. Can you see somebody saying, you're stealing from God? People are like, well, how are we stealing from God? In your tithes and offerings. You can't go telling people, you're stealing from God with authority. You know? But we can't use those verses because that's God's word. But you can't just say that I heard from God. God told me this. Read from the Bible. You know, that prophet Malachi said this. Because that's what God wanted him to tell the people. But that don't make yourself prophet Malachi. Yes. Avoid the spiritual manipulation. Manipulation. Okay. Number four, walk in humility. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, then he may lift you up in due time. That's the book of Peter, first book of Peter, chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. To walk with humility. Like I said, on Pastor Bruce, Dr. Ming Wen, minister in the love of Christ. That's requirement number 5. The work of the Holy Spirit is always motivated by love. All through the ministry of Jesus, we see that his purpose was not primarily to show his power, but more to show compassion on the suffering of the people who came to him. So Jesus was doing things, or was ministering to people with love. So he wasn't really showing to people that, I'm God, I have to do this, but he was showing compassion to people. So he was healing people, feeding people in time of need. An example is when Jesus saw a large crowd, he had compassion of them and healed the sick. Evangelism and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit equip us to minister effectively to the body of Christ and to the lost. Remember we said the purpose of the gift were edification and evangelism. So let's use our gift for evangelism. I said there is a difference between the evangelist and the gift of evangelism. So if you use your gift with frequency, your gift of evangelism with frequency, that will bring you to an upper level of the evangelists like Billy Graham, Pastor Rice, Dr. Rice Brooks. He's a great evangelist. But we all can do the work of evangelists. Like Sister Seneca, what I see in her is really an evangelist. But it's up to her now to use that gift with frequency. But so far, what she does, she sends reminders to us that we need to meet in portable A so that we can go out and reach out to people. So use your gift for evangelism. You know, there's what we call the apostolic mandate. Apostolic mandate or the Great Commission. God said, go around the world and teach the good news to all creation. It's for all of us. Nobody's exempt. Make disciples out of the people, you know. Make disciples. That's what we call the apostolic mandate. That's for everybody, or the Great Commission. So we're not exempt. We have to do the work of evangelism somehow. You know, you can either welcome people to your house, start to talk to them. There will be an evangelist over there that will reach out to them, you know. Open doors for the work of evangelism, either by inviting people or just organizing. Sometimes on certain Sundays, we have some long days over here from morning to late afternoon. We'll do a lot of activities over here, just volunteer and help. See, you're helping, you're using your talent for the work of evangelism. But I'd really rather you start preaching the good news, because that's what the apostolic mandate says, preach the good news. So, gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit equip us to minister effectively to the body of Christ. We got that as number one. Number two, gift of the Holy Spirit normally thought to be most applicable to a church setting can also be used for winning the lost. That's what I said, the other purpose of the gift was evangelism, to reach out to the lost people, to the unchurched. People with the gift of administration can organize evangelistic activities, like Sister Sinek is doing, using his talent, administration talents, to organize evangelistic activities. People with the gift of hospitality can open their homes to international students. For instance, that's just an example of how you can use your gift of hospitality. Sometime last year, see, there's at a lot of universities, Vanderbilt or Fisk, they have some clubs they call First Friends. I don't know if you have one at your school. You go to Vanderbilt? Yeah, First Friends. So you can go meet people over there, mostly like foreigners. They come from China, a lot of countries. They don't know anybody in this country. And if you're part of First Friends, so you'll start to meet new people. Invite them. Like Pastor Philip Steele, the one that preaches for the Burmese and Hispanic service, those services. So he invited the two. He went to Vanderbilt and picked two Chinese students. They were not even Christians. He brought them to his house, you know. So he just provided hospitality for them. And they bumped on me. And, you know, you cannot go home without listening to the good news. So my question was to them, which church do you go to? We don't go to church. Have you heard about Christ? No. Where are you from? China. I said, okay, this is the opportunity. So I started to preach to them. So Pastor Philip Steele opened the door, provided that environment. Another person, me, you know, took over. It wasn't a plan. It just happened like that. Yeah. So people with the gift of mercy can volunteer at homeless shelters. You know, when you have the gift of mercy, you can also volunteer to, you know, the Youth Life Learning Center, the home of the homeless shelter, the mission, rescue mission, or different churches have different activities that do. You can volunteer using the gift of mercy. And even teaching. You can use the gift of teaching to evangelize. When you're a teacher, you'll be a great evangelist. You see Pastor Rice? Can you see somebody that designs a God test? He designed a God test. He came up with nine reasons to show that God is not dead. His primarily gift is an evangelist. He's an evangelist. But look, the other gift he has of teaching, how it's leading him to minister to others with love, explaining to people that God is not dead. Like I always say, always use your intelligence. When you're a teacher, you come up with a lot of things. Like this is the gospel I teach. See, this is how I start my teaching. I start from creation. The same day, we don't want to do it in 2 days, the same day, when I reach out to you, you're going to learn from creation to New Jerusalem. Why? Creation and New Jerusalem are alike. Because here, when God created the universe, he said everything was good. Remember? God declared every phase of creation good. And over here, the word will be perfect. There will be, the Bible says, there will be no death. We won't be sick. There won't be any sin. So we'll be perfect over here. So this world over here and that world over there are alike. But now, in between, there's a mess. Now, you have to explain to people, you know, how it was and how it will be. Because it builds people's faith. And when Jesus came, that's the big game changer. But over here, there was a mess. See, here, Adam and Eve sinned. Sin came in the world, including the suffering, all these other things. People's nature changed. God tried to work with them, but it still didn't work. So God had had enough with mankind. He decided to destroy the whole world. But he just decided to save 8, Noah. He gave mankind another chance. Before Noah, this is what God said. This is what Moses said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. He said, every inclination of the thought of man was bad at all times. Every inclination of the thought. Not even the act, just the thought. Anywhere man's inclination of his thoughts went was bad at all times. Can you see how wicked man can? So God said, I've had enough. I'm going to just, kill the whole world. He decided to save 8 righteous people, give mankind a chance. They still blew it up. They blew it up. And then God said, well, keep on blowing it up. But God didn't give up on man. So he said, I'm going to choose a humble people, people that people don't even know, the lowest in the world, the Jewish people. So people went, God found Abraham, from the lowest tribe in the world. He said, these people are very humble. Nobody will know them. Let me use these people so they can become a nation of priests. Let me show to these people who I am so that through them, once these people know who I am, through them the whole world will change. Through them the whole world will know who I am. So he struck a covenant over there with Abraham. Then the covenant went to his son, Isaac and Jacob, and then started another covenant with Moses to bring the people of Israel back to Israel. And he gave Moses the law. And then we had, like we said last time, the prophets came. All the prophets, they didn't come to foresee. They didn't. The work of the prophet is not to foresee what's coming in the future, but it is to enforce Moses' covenant. To enforce the law. That's why Prophet Malachi was able to say that you're stealing from God. He was referring to the law. God had already given the law saying that everyone has to give a tenth of what he makes. 9/10 are for you, but 1/10 is for God. And our people were not doing that. That's why Malachi said, you're stealing from God. You see how that word came up to him? He's enforcing the covenant. Isaiah, all of them were enforcing Moses' covenant. But still, people wouldn't change. People were hard-headed. That's why the Bible says, don't be like your forefathers. See, the forefathers of the Jewish people, they saw miracles from Egypt to the promised land. They saw different miracles. The manna food coming from heaven. They saw Moses separate the water, the Red Sea, stuff like that. But they still were hardened. So they said, don't be like your forefathers. You know, for 40 years or so, wonders and signs, but they still didn't believe. So, until Malachi, and then came John the Baptist. John the Baptist is also an Old Testament prophet. He came with repentance. Repent. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. The kingdom, that was his message. People still didn't change until God decided, now my son will go over there and take the ultimate you know, offering. He'll be the ultimate offering so he can die once for all for mankind's sins, for the past sins, the present sins, and the future sins. See? And still, the gift of the Holy Spirit are helping us. The Holy Spirit is helping us, is changing us, but still there's weakness. You know? And here Jesus is the Redeemer, but when he comes back over here, remember put the chair last time, he's going to be a judge. So, Jesus is the only way you can reach over here. Don't look for another sacrifice for sins. There will not be another sacrifice for sins. We've already had our time. Jesus had already come as a sacrifice for sins, so we still have our chance to go there. Once it comes over here, what will be awaiting for you if you were not righteous is the burning hell. Burning hell. So people will be resurrected. The righteous after judgment, the righteous will go there. And the evil ones will be thrown in burning hell. But still, we'll still have some challenges over there because Satan will be arrested for 1,000 years. And they will give him another chance to be released, but he still will do wrong. He'll still try to seduce people. But the Bible says the righteous won't be seduced by him, the righteous. You see? And later on, Satan will be done away for good. He and his dragons will be done away for good. Because here there will be no sin. This will be a perfect world. So we still have this time over here. This is called the old time. This is called the old time. This is called from judgment to here. It's called the new time. And this period over here is called the last days or the end days. Jesus was referring to the end days. In the end days, you will see this. In the last days, you will see this. This is what Jesus refers from the time Jesus came to the time of judgment. This is the last days. So, we still have the last days to convert ourselves to be good workmen, to help the others be saved. Because from this day over here, there will be no another sacrifice for sin, you know. Everybody's done. I mean, everything is done already. So when you teach your gospel in this way, you give people a good understanding. We call this the overarching plan of redemption. From creation to New Jerusalem. So this is the overarching plan of redemption. So though mankind sinned and became bad, but there is always a hope. Because the ultimate hope of a Christian is the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And when we receive the resurrected body, we will be over here in New Jerusalem where there will be no sin. No sickness, no death. So try your best to learn the overarching plan of redemption. Because this way over here scares people. This is the most presented gospel. God is righteous and man is a sinner. We refer to as sinners at all times and Jesus is the Redeemer. So we always tell people, yeah, believe in Jesus Christ, then you will become the Son of God. But now people start to ask themselves the question, where will I go then? This is a good gospel, very good. But it leaves a lot of loopholes where people ask you a lot of questions. Where do I go then? Do you see over here, I didn't put heaven? The overarching redemption plan doesn't have heaven. Because death and heaven are temporary places. We don't want to go to temporary places. We want to live for eternity. The message of the gospel is clear. If you receive the gospel, you will receive eternal life. that's eternal life over there. Because this format of the gospel will, I mean, yeah, it's convincing, but that's why you see people that receive the gospel for the first time will start asking a lot of questions. Okay, if I become the Son of God, and then what? Oh, okay, if I die, where will I go? This type of gospel doesn't teach about death and resurrection. That's leaving you with a lot of questions asked. This over here clearly, this brings a great understanding to an individual. You know, telling them that it's not late. Come, let's then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What does it mean? Just come to God as you are. I was talking to Sister Sharon the other day. She said, my brother, he drinks a lot, you know. He's scared to come to the church. He thinks that the church will reject him, you know. And I told her, I said, well, tell him to come boldly. That's why another version of the Bible says, come boldly or come with confidence. It says, let's then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Come with confidence. Come as you are with your sins. What it says, then we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When you come to the throne of grace as you are, you will receive God's mercy. God will set aside your sins and give you the free gift of salvation. Do you understand? So you're telling people, although we're sinners, but look, it's not late. Come to the throne of grace as you are. You'll receive mercy. And you'll get grace, free gift of salvation. And then when you receive the free gift of salvation, good deeds will start to be seen in you. As Brother James, the Gospel of James says, faith without deeds is dead. The deeds will come. The fruit of the Holy Spirit will come. Love, peace, joy, self-control, they will come. Once you're in Christ, they will come. And you're already telling people, okay, because you believed during the day of judgment, you're already going to go. If you're not dead, you'll go from life to eternal life. If you're dead, you'll be resurrected on that day and go to eternal life. And if you did wrong, we'll give you a lot of chance over here. If you haven't changed, what's waiting for you is burning hell. See, I use my gift of teacher to present this gospel, which is more convincing than this gospel over here. But both are good, don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to say is, use your gift to become a better evangelist. Amen. Thank you very much.